20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. Excited to wrap up our three-part series and review of the NFC North off-seasons today as we go over the Detroit Lions. 2 days ago, we went over the Chicago Bears. Yesterday, we went over the Minnesota Vikings. And again, today, we wrap it all up with Detroit. Before we get there, just a reminder, check out those Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships, like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Those are all things that help the podcast a ton. With that out of the way, we are getting right to it and breaking down this Lions offseason. We kind of have to start from a coaching standpoint, and not specifically because they hired a new coach, not because they have a new offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator, but because they don't have a new offensive coordinator and they don't have a new defensive coordinator. There was certainly a point in time in which both Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson were considered to be top coaching candidates this offseason. It looked like Aaron Glenn's sort of candidacy faded a little bit, but Ben Johnson was expected to take a head coaching job somewhere, like almost for sure. And instead, he's like, nah, I'm good. He stayed once again for the second consecutive offseason, spurning head coaching offers to stay as offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions. And Aaron Glenn also back as defensive coordinator this year. So I think one of the things that has made this Lions team really special over the last few seasons, not special enough, they haven't won a Super Bowl yet or anything like that, but how they've really improved is due to this coaching staff. It starts, of course, with Dan Campbell, but I think Dan Campbell's ability to coach, you know, and be a head coach is not quite as much, and this is not meant to be disparaging towards Dan Campbell, who's really, really smart. He's done a phenomenal job, but allowing and sort of giving the autonomy to Ben Johnson as the X's and O's guys on offense and Aaron Glenn as the X's and O's guy on defense and let them do the heavy lifting on both sides of the ball. Well, he handles sort of all the CEO operations of the Detroit Lions, meaning like everything top bottom from a coaching standpoint. I think it's worked out incredibly well. And I think there were, and there was some real questions as to whether or not this offense with Jared Goff and the way it's set up would continue to excel the way that it was if they lost Ben Johnson. And I think there's certainly some questions too as to whether or not the defense would continue to trend in the right direction if Aaron Glenn was going to be gone. But both guys are back. They're both still under Dan Campbell, and this trio of really smart coaches is back and are going to keep this Lions team competitive, in my opinion. So that was a huge, huge win for Detroit, first of all. They did lose some free agents, however. Josh Reynolds goes to the Denver Broncos. They lose a wide receiver there. Jonah Jackson, the really good guard, moves on to the LA Rams. Matt Nelson, rotational offensive lineman, goes to the Giants. Julian Aquara, rotational edge rusher, to the Eagles. Benito Jones, rotational defensive tackle, to the Dolphins. Will Harris, defensive back, to the Saints. And then CJ Chauncey Gardner-Johnson back to the Philadelphia Eagles. Not really a loss for the Lions there because he didn't play a ton this last year, was injured a huge chunk of the year, but still, he was somebody I think they really were hoping was going to be a key part of their new secondary. Didn't work out that way in large part due to injury, and now he goes back to Philadelphia. They did also have two players retire, Teddy Bridgewater, backup QB, and Romeo Okwara, another rotational edge rusher as well. They released Tracy Walker. They also released Cam Sutton. They did make some pretty big additions to their roster, however. They traded for Carlton Davis. This has been a team that has been desperately, desperately trying to get better in the secondary. And the corner position has just not been a good enough roster at that particular spot for them to compete at the highest of levels. So they go and they trade for Carlton Davis from Tampa before they even get to the draft to really help solidify that corner position. I think it's a big move for them. They go get Marcus Davenport, defensive end in free agency. Amik Robertson, another corner from the Raiders. I think a little bit of an underrated signing there. He's going to have the opportunity to compete maybe at that nickel spot a little bit. We'll see. They added a lot of corners, so he might move down the depth chart a little bit, but I think that was a good signing for them. DJ Reader, big-time run-stuffing defensive tackle. They pick him up. Kyle Pecco, rotational defensive tackle. And then Kevin Zeitler, they pick him up on a one-year deal, and he will go a long way in replacing Jonah Jackson, who, again, has moved on to the LA Rams. They re-signed a bunch of their own guys. Donovan Peoples-Jones, the wide receiver they traded for at the trade deadline last year. Brock Wright, the tight end. The 49ers tried to poach him away using restricted free agency. The Lions said, no, thank you. They bring him back. I think that was a pretty good re-signing by Detroit. They could have let him walk to San Fran. They didn't. They gave him the contract San Fran was willing to give him. And I think he clearly projects as their number two tight end moving forward. Graham Glasgow, they bring back. He's going to be a starting offensive lineman. Mr. Reporting is eligible. Dan Skipper is back. Jalen Reeves-Maven, special teams expert, as well as backup linebacker. Emmanuel Mosley at corner. Kendall Wilder at corner. Michael Badgley at kicker. And Scott Daly, the long snapper, are all back as well. That brings us to the draft for Detroit. They get one pick ahead of Green Bay. They move up, they trade up, and they draft Terrion Arnold. Now, as I've talked about in the past, as much as I would have enjoyed Terrion Arnold one pick later to Green Bay, and as much as it sucked at the moment when the Lions moved up one spot ahead and drafted the guy a lot of us wanted Green Bay to take, I do not believe that Green Bay would have taken Terrion Arnold even if he was there one pick later. If Detroit would have moved up and taken, I don't know, whomever, it doesn't even matter, anyone not named Terrion Arnold or Jordan Morgan, let's say they would have taken, you know, Tyler Guyton. We'll just say they took Tyler Guyton. I believe wholeheartedly Green Bay at pick 24 or whatever, I think it was 24, right? Would have taken Jordan Morgan still. And I think Terrion Arnold would have went later on. I just think that's how it is. I could be wrong, but just based on, you know, kind of some of the stuff I was hearing after the draft, I believe the Packers would have taken Jordan Morgan anyway, but still sucked in the moment. Terrion Arnold, again, a lot of Packer fans, myself included, were hoping that he was going to get one more spot and he goes to Detroit one pick earlier. And he should be a very, very good fit in this Aaron Glenn defense and will help that secondary in that corner spot, which again has been in desperate need of some help at the position. They're not done there. Remember, at this point, right? At this point, they have already traded for Carlton Davis, right? They brought back Emmanuel Mosley and Kendall Wilder. They signed Amik Robertson in free agency, and now they drafted Terrion Arnold with their first pick. In fact, they moved up to get Terrion Arnold with their first pick. Second round comes along, screw it. We're going to keep getting corners. They are bound and determined to fix this cornerback position. They get Ennis Rakestraw in the second round, another corner that I really loved in this draft. It was probably somebody the Packers were never going to take, was not the like ideal height, weight, speed, RAS, relative athletic score guy, but just a really fun, really good corner. Might be a guy that they could use in the slot. I think he can definitely be somebody that they use outside. We'll see if he can overcome, like I say, athletic limitations. He's still a plus athlete. He's not bad by any means, but he's not like that 90th percentile athlete. He's going to be really, really good for them. I love both those picks for Detroit. And when you have a weakness, you go attack it aggressively. And that's what they did. They get Rakestraw. They get Terrion Arnold. They trade for Carlton Davis. They signed Amik Robertson. They said, we are going to fix this. And they put their money where their mouth was and they went and did it. Now, we'll see what Davis can bring to Detroit, if Amik Robertson can amount to anything, and we'll see what these two rookies end up being, but it certainly will not be for lack of effort for Detroit when it comes to addressing that cornerback position. They then got rather aggressive. They trade up for Giovanni Manu. They gave up, I think, a future draft pick to do so. He is a extremely raw, dancing bear of an offensive tackle. He looks the part, and he's very intriguing, but he's going to take some time probably to develop. They grab him as a developmental offensive tackle. Then Sione Vakai, another really interesting one that they, I believe, traded for as well. He was a safety mostly in college. Also played some running back, played some special teams. Used him in all phases. They announce him as a running back, interestingly enough. I think this could be somebody that does play as a running back. I think that could be his primary position. But I think he could be a core special teamer. And I do think he could be somebody that you utilize in a safety role if you needed somebody there as well. So a very interesting pick there for Detroit. They get Makai Wingo, a defensive tackle, and then Christian Mahogany as a interior offensive lineman. I overall like this draft from Detroit. Really liked Arnold, really liked Rakestraw. Manu is, I think a little bit aggressive at that point in the draft. And I'm not sure I would have traded to get him. He's a really interesting lottery ticket. Vakai should be, again, a core special teamer that can do a lot of different things on your 48-man roster. Wingo should be a rotational defensive tackle, and Mahogany is a high-end upside lottery ticket play on the interior of the offensive line. And guess what? Manu, Vakai, Wingo, Mahogany, Rakestraw, especially Terrion Arnold, all these guys, fit within the ethos of the Detroit Lions. These guys are tough, physical. They play the right way. They are going to fit right in. This was a really strong draft class from Detroit. As we talked about, they really redid that corner room. It's been something they've been struggling with year after year after year, just finding the right guys. Again, Terry Arnold, Ennis Rakestra, Carlton Davis, all in, Amik Robertson in, Mosley and Wilder both re-signed. They are going to do everything in their power to make it so that this is a very talented secondary and that they are not giving up massive passing yards because they don't have the guys to match up specifically at corner.
Hey friends, wherever you are in your walk in life, whatever your financial situation is, and whatever phase of life you may be in, we're all working towards our financial goals in our own unique way. Whether it be purchasing your first house, buying a new car, or even setting plans to travel the world, bad, below average, or non-existent credit can hold you back from that next big purchase and can sidetrack those goals. That's where Kickoff comes in. Kickoff is the fastest and easiest way to safely jumpstart your credit and hit those financial goals quicker. My favorite aspect of Kickoff and the reason I recommend Kickoff to my friends and family is because it's insanely easy to use. You can sign up for a monthly plan within minutes and you can start building credit immediately for as low as $5. Plus, check this out. Users with credit under 600 increase their credit by an average of 30 points within the first month. 1 month, 30 points higher. That's because Kickoff is a safe, easy, and legit credit hack with no catch and no credit checks. And you can cancel at any time, hassle-free. Kickoff has over 100,000 positive reviews on the App Store and 98% are 5 stars. So join over 1 million people building credit with a Kickoff credit account today. Get your first month for $1. That's 80% off the normal price when you go to getkickoff.com/packaday today. That's Kickoff without the C, get kickoff.com/packaday. Must sign up via getkickoff.com/packaday to activate the offer. Offer applies to new Kickoff customers first month only, subject to approval. Average impact of 30-point increase in first month based on Equifax Vantage Score 3.0 changes for Kickoff premium customers with starting credit below 600 who made their first on-time payment between January 2021 and March 2024. Payments and credit activity outside Kickoff can have an impact on your credit. Terms and conditions may apply. Offer subject to change. Individual results may vary.
All right, let's look at their new depth chart following all of their trades, acquisitions, releases, etc. This past offseason draft picks. Quarterback, they've got Jared Goff. They still have Hendon Hooker, you know, day two selection last year at quarterback. He'll be sort of an interesting career to keep an eye on, specifically in preseason. Nate Sudfeld is their number three. They've got the 1-2 punch of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs at running back, then Sione Vaki and Craig Reynolds to go along with those two. Wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Khalif Raymond, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Antoine Green, and Tre'Quan Smith. Tight end, Sam Laporta, Brock Wright, James Mitchell, Shane Zylstra. Offensive tackle, Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell, phenomenal offensive tackle duo there. They got Giovanni Manu, Colby Sorsdahl, and Dan Skipper. Offensive guard, Graham Glasgow, Kevin Zeitler, and Christian Mahogany. And then at center, one of the best in the business, Frank Ragnow. Defensive end, Aiden Hutchinson, Marcus Davenport, who they got over from Minnesota, John Pascal, John Kaminsky, and then James Houston as well. Got a lot of rotational types there. We'll talk about that. Defensive tackle, DJ Reader, Aleem McNeil, Levi Nwuzurike, Makai Wingo, and Broderick Martin. Linebacker, Alex Anzalone, Jack Campbell, Malcolm Rodriguez, Derek Barnes, and Jalen Reeves-Maven. Corner, Carlton Davis, Terry Arnold, Emmanuel Mosley, Ennis Rakestra, Amik Robertson, and Kendall Wilder. Nickelback is likely going to be Brian Branch, if I had to guess. Safety will be Ifeatu Melifonwu, Kirby Joseph, and then they also have Brian Branch to play there if need be. Kicker, they got Michael Badgley. Remember, they also just signed Jake Bates from the UFL. Jack Fox at punter, and Scott Daly at long snapper. I do think there are some questions worth going over here for these Detroit Lions. Number one is pass rush outside of Aiden Hutchinson. Marcus Davenport has really not stayed healthy and has not ever really hit his ceiling in the NFL. Not with the Saints and certainly not last year with Minnesota. They are banking on him being somebody that can really be that number two edge rusher across from Aiden Hutchinson. They need him to. Now, Pascal, we'll see if he can take a step this year. John Kaminsky had a phenomenal game against the Packers last year, but he's kind of more a rotational type. And then James Houston has shown some flashes, but it's been just kind of that, just some flashes. They've got depth here. They've got rotational pieces, but this is sort of Aiden Hutchinson and then some guys. And again, maybe some of those guys even above average, but they're not players that you're losing sleep over. Unless Marcus Davenport somehow finds it in this stage of his career, which I don't necessarily see happening. And then if you're sort of doubling down on this, DJ Reader, run-stopping defensive tackle. Aleem McNeil, not a big-time pass rusher. Levi Nwuzurike was supposed to be more of a pass-rushing defensive tackle, hasn't really developed that aspect of his game yet. Mekhi Wingo, really not that. Broderick Martin, not. So, like, they don't have a bunch of unbelievable pass rushers along this defensive line. It's Aiden Hutchinson that they're really going to have to count on. And heaven forbid anything would ever happen to Aiden Hutchinson, they're really going to struggle to get to the quarterback. So it's great that they rebuilt this secondary up a bit, but they're going to really need to have to count on Hutchinson to be the guy that is consistently getting pressure. And I'll say this, a lot of times he can just be that guy. He is a menace. He is awful to have to deal with on a down-by-down basis. He's going to give you everything he's got game in and game out, and he can just be that absolute game wrecker. But you would love to have, if you're the Lions, another guy that you can count on to be across from him. I'm not sure they have that. So that's a question mark for me. The other one's wide receiver. Listen, they have Amon-Ra St. Brown. He has been phenomenal for them. He is a fantastic wide receiver, a true legitimate number one guy. But after that, they're really counting on Jameson Williams here. Jameson Williams was a player I really liked coming out of the draft, but it's been a slow start to his career so far. And he's had some injury issues and hasn't been able to necessarily stay on the field, but they need him to be a true legitimate number two guy and somebody that can stretch the field. Now, he has a lot of talent. And if he does become that guy, look out, this offense is going to take off at even a higher level, but he needs to. They don't have the depth after him. Now, you can make an argument, right, that this overall group of weapons, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Sam Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, and maybe you get Brock Wright on the field, or maybe it's a Donovan Peoples-Jones, whoever that fifth guy might be. You can have four dynamic players on the field at all times, you know, with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, and Sam Laporta. Like you have weapons, but that number two, number three, number four wide receiver, those spots, I think there's some opportunity for improvement and growth there. But if Jameson Williams can just be that guy, then they're probably okay. If he can't be, if he doesn't live up to expectations, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Sam Laporta and Amon-Ra St. Brown to kind of carry the overall passing attack of that offense. So that's my second question. Number three is offensive line depth. Decker and Sewell, phenomenal. Like just phenomenal duo at tackle. Glasgow and Zeitler should be good enough at guard. And then Ragnow, really good center. After that, it gets a lot more iffy. Christian Mahogany at guard is a rookie. Giovanni Manu is a rookie. You know, Colby Sorsdahl and Dan Skipper, they're fine. But you run out of depth pretty quick. You kind of got your five starters and then some question marks. So depth along the offensive line, definitely another question there for Detroit. And then did they finally find their corners? I think so. I think just by pure bulk alone, they probably did. And I like the four, you know, primary guys here, meaning Terry Arnold, Ennis Rakestraw, Carlton Davis, and Amik Robertson. I think they added good value here. And they really just need two, right? If two guys can step up, Brian Branch can be your nickel guy. And then you have two good safeties. Melifonwu really came on in the second half of last year. Kirby Joseph's a good player. So they just need two of those guys. Two of the four to really be good. But that's still going to be, they're going to need to show, like, go out and show it, go out and prove it, because the corner position has been an issue for so long in Detroit. Long story short here, the Lions to me still look like a very legit team. Did they do enough to take that next step? Because it's one thing to be a playoff team. It's one thing to be a contender. It's another to actually go out and take that next step to win a Super Bowl. I don't think Detroit is quite there. They could be. They have a lot of the pieces that are needed. I don't necessarily view them in that, like, clear and obvious, yep, they can win a Super Bowl. I think it's going to take a lot. And we still don't know. I think Jared Goff has been really, really good for them. Can he be the guy that gets you over the top? Can he be the guy that actually wins you a Super Bowl? I do think overall, outside of a, you know, offensive line we talked about a little bit, I do think they have great depth on the team. I think they have great high-end talent. And I think they're going to be favorites to win the NFC North again. In fact, I don't need to think it. I know it based on the Vegas odds so far. They are the current favorites to win the NFC North. But will they? I do believe that your Green Bay Packers will have a large say in who comes out on top in this NFC North. I think this could be a two-team race. I think Chicago could certainly get their name in the conversation. But Detroit's right now, they are the kings of the North.
And they're going to fight tooth and nail to keep that and try to get that home field advantage in that first playoff game. So I think it's going to be a really interesting division. We've obviously had the opportunity to go through all three of these NFC North teams, not named the Packers, over the last 3 days. I think it's going to be extremely competitive. I expect the Bears to take a pretty significant jump. I think the Lions are going to be really, really good still. And while Minnesota, I don't think, is quite as good as they were on paper to start the season last year in 2023, they're going to be much better from after the Kirk Cousins injury on. And I do think they're going to be a team that is a pain to play every single week, no matter what, too. I don't think they're going to be an easy out for anyone. So this is going to be a very competitive, very tough division. We don't need to rank it today. I do very much believe the Packers are going to be in that conversation and have every right to go out and win it. But the Detroit Lions are certainly going to have a lot to say about that as well, and are the reigning defending NFC North champs. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate you guys. That wraps up our three-part series. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handel, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, and Dan Gesford. I'll be right back here tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.